when we talk about, hey, man, how you doing? I've said it over and over again, and it's a prayer that, it's a sentence prayer, that we desire heaven on earth in the city of Crane. We desire that the kingdom of God reign in this place. And so one of the things that I feel like God has said, do my people know what that looks like? If we were to define what the kingdom of God is like, if we were to define what does it taste like, what does it smell like, what is the kingdom of God, what is it supposed to be, how is it supposed to look? You know, there are a lot of people that in a lot of places that it's supposed to be a representation of something else. And we don't know that. I remember when I was in high school and we would go on a school trip, coaches and principals would say, now you are a representative of Iran ISD. And so what that meant, without saying it, is what? Don't act a fool. Don't get in trouble. Don't embarrass the school by doing something stupid. Because you are a representative of Iron Independent School District. And so, basically, that's what Jesus is telling us. When he says, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, and he uses that term interchangeably. There are times that he says, like in Matthew 7:14, he says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he's saying there is, look, it's time to repent. And what does repent mean? It means to turn totally around to a different way, a different direction, and say, look, you've been living this way. It's about time you need to turn this way, because the kingdom of heaven is right here in your midst. It's right here. So stop doing this and start doing that. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, what does that mean? What does seeking the kingdom of God mean? Where do I go to find this? Where's the door? Where's the entrance into this kingdom that I should be looking for? And when I get there, how do I enter? Who has that key? Who have the keys to that kingdom? Well, that's what this series is going to be about. It's going to be about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing. We're going to say, because there are a lot of parables that say, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's what we're going to research that. We're going to look at that. And we're going to say, let there be no mistake that God has every intention for you to say that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven should rule in three places. That's in your heart, in your individual lives, in your home, and in your city, state, national, your earth, in the world. Okay? Those are the three places that He desires to rule over in your life. The kingdom of God should rule. And so if you don't know what that is, if you don't know what the rules are, how can you do that? So we're going to leave no doubt as to what you need to do. Now, Jimmy did a fantastic job as to the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus' first sermon was to be able to tell you, this is what you should do. And a lot of people look at that and say, it's a great self-help book. It's more than a self-help book. It is a total transformation of the heart. And so, He's telling us that the kingdom of heaven is all about heart, character, and the way we should live. And so, I'm going to go over some of those things topically instead of just section by section. So, one of the first things in Matthew 6, He talks about giving of alms. Giving. Now, in the Hebrew, of the kingdom of God, there was in Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 to 37. Did you know their concept of the kingdom of God was way different than what it actually became? In chapter 2, verses 36 to 37. 37. This is the dream, and he will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art of King of Kings, for the kingdom, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. So Daniel's telling the king, you are wonderful, you're great. And that's what all prophets did to the king. They kind of lubed him up. This is, you know, so they could what? Receive what he was about to tell them. But in Daniel 2:44 to 45, he tells them this. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So what he's saying to them is this dream that he had, he's saying, let me tell you what, there's going to come a kingdom, and this kingdom is going to be wonderful, it's going to be great, it's going to take over every nation, it's going to take over every king, it's going to be wonderful. And so this is what the Hebrew people had, everybody knew. They knew the book of Daniel, forward and backwards, they knew every word of it, and they said, yes! We cannot wait for this kingdom to show up. This is the Messiah. We can't wait till this king is here. With those kind of words, why wouldn't they? If someone told me, hey, guess what? You're going to be mayor of Crane. God said so. And if I believed in God, why wouldn't I believe that truth? They believed that truth. And they had built it up in their heads and said, well, this is how it's going to be. They knew it. They'd read it. They memorized it. It was on their heart. They believed the prophetic word. But it didn't come to pass like they thought. Have any of y'all ever been there? I have many, many, many times. Prophetic words that came down for me, and I thought, this is the way this is going to play out. And it didn't. Sometimes it was better. And sometimes it was more practical. It was just better. More wholesome. That really is the word. When Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Hebrew definition of spirituality, this is what he had to work with. When he's looking at the people, looking at his audience, the Hebrew definition of spirituality was given to the needy, prayer, and fasting. Now, he already is working with the foundation here. He's already working with people who were already a spiritual people. They didn't have late night TV. They didn't have the internet. These were people whose entertainment was to go to the synagogue. The Gutenberg press hadn't been invented yet. If they wanted the Word of God, they had to go somewhere so that the Bible, which was the Old Testament, had to be read to them. That was their entertainment. So, their definition of spirituality was giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. So Matthew chapter 6 is talking straight to them and getting them into context of, I'm telling you how to do this. You already know the what, but he's telling you, I'm going to tell you how. The modern day definition of spirituality is a little bit different than that. I say a little bit different. I think it's a lot different. The modern day a spirituality, and I would probably venture to say that every minister, every leadership of every church probably thinks this way. The modern day definition of spirituality is Bible reading. Remember? Back in that day, they didn't have Bibles that they could take to their own house. They didn't have Bible apps. They couldn't read the Bible in their own house. But modern day is, did you read your chapter a day? Modern day spirituality is reading the Bible. The next is prayer. Have you prayed today? Oh, forgot. And attending church. That's what every preacher is telling you. Get to church, get to church, get to church. My attendance is down. Get to church, get to church, get to church. So, look at the difference. Prayer is in there on both set of standards. It's in there in the Hebrew. It's also in the modern day. So, I'm not saying either one is right or wrong or what God is saying here, but I just want you to show you that in the what Jesus was working with and what we're working with today. Let's start with what Jesus is working with. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'm just going to read that. Take heed that you do not bring your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. But then thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seest in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Now, what he's saying, and what I often have heard, is they didn't have boomboxes. They didn't have cassette tapes. And so there wasn't this band or this thing that announced their arrival. You know, it wasn't... Let me show you something. It wasn't like this. The champ is here! The champ is here! Get ready in the ring! The champ is here! It wasn't Muhammad Ali. You know? It was more like this. In that day and age, the giving box was made out of the horn that was also an instrument. And it was made of this thing. And you could hear it hit the bottom. Now, so when the woman with just one pence came and gave her offering, this is what you heard. It was just one. And so no one really gave notice but God. And God went, oh, she gave all that she had. And yet the rich man did this. To be seen of men. They didn't have paper. They didn't have checks. They didn't have credit cards. They didn't have online giving. They had coins. And so this is the way they gave money. And so everybody turned around and said, there's a big giver. Some big giver came to town, and now he gave what he listened to what he gave. And he wanted to make a stage of it. And so Jesus says, not that you give, but when you give. They have already established that this was something that you have to do, that you're going to do. But when you do this, do it in secret. Do it as something. We're not saying that, you know, that you shouldn't do it. We're just saying when you do it with the heart to say, hey, I'm just giving it to do what God wants me to do. I really feel like I'm preaching to the choir. This is just something that what God is saying when, and this is what God is. We're a great people to do that. We are amazed. Jimmy and myself are amazed at what we see people give in this congregation. And I want to say, I believe God has blessed us time and time again that, wow, other people would look at us and go, why haven't y'all folded? Basically because of finances. But people have given to the point that, no, we are still able to do what we need to do. So, so be it as God has said. So let's go on to the next thing. Matthew 6, 5 through 6. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We as a people, as a Christian people, have a huge obligation to God. And that is that we continue to believe God for what He wants to do in this nation. Not only in this nation, but in each of our cities. And so, when things are happening, we need to pay attention. It seems like, and I'm just telling you what it seems like, that our little community has been under attack. And when I say under attack, I'm just talking about there are people that have, there's been deaths, there's been people have gotten sick. There's been this coronavirus. There's just things that have gone on in this community that make you feel out of balance, if I can say it that way. Just feeling like I'm not real sure about things in life right now. And we can't afford to have our feet on sinking sand. We can't afford to believe that we are not on solid ground, that our foundation needs to be on Christ and not on situational things. We have to believe God has our back. We have to believe that when we go forth, our faith is in Jesus, and that we are not ruled by fear and fear alone. Now, what happens when I do get afraid? That there are emotions that creep up in my life. Well, sometimes we got to do it afraid. If we're afraid, then just do what God has told us to do, afraid. What else can I do? I got to obey. I got to do what I got to do. Have you ever told your children to do something, and they're going, no, because I'm scared to do it. And you know in your heart that they're safe. They're safe. Go ahead and do it. But no, I'm scared to. Just do it. And you got to tell them, do it. And once they get done, they go, oh, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. The first time I played football, they said, take your head and hit that other guy. I'm going, that just doesn't sound normal. You don't do that. It's not normal, is it? That helmet won't let you get hurt. Studies show that you do get hurt. But in reality, that helmet was there to protect you. But it had to prove itself before I finally got over the scaredness part. And they had little exercises that you do. So, you thought, oh, okay, it ain't so bad. Shaving was another thing. That thing is sharp. And I'm supposed to scrape it on my skin? You know, there's a lot of things that we do that when we first do them seem like, I don't know if we ought to do that. But you do it afraid until you figure out, God's got me. Or my parents do. Somebody got me. I'm safe. It doesn't go away when we're adults. You know that? Kids may go, oh, well, you know, mom and dad, they're never scared of anything. No, they are. They've just learned how to do stuff afraid. They really have. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that something that you pray? I really think that we ought to pray that every day. For your own life, for your family's life, for anything that you're in charge of. Father, let your will be done at everything that I put my hand to. Everything that I put my hand to. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, don't you want that? I want that till it happens. I didn't know that's what your will was. And you may have to say, well, God, make me understand. There's where faith kicks in. There's where the faith in God saying, whatever you want is for my best. Everybody gets to that point. Everybody gets to that point where I know that God's choice is best for me. And I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to live that way. That God's choice is best for me. I'm not going to argue it. I'm just going to believe it. Do we argue with God? Yeah. Sometimes we argue with God by saying, well, I don't know that it's God. You may know it's God and still argue with Him. I don't know. I don't know if really it's God. Yeah, sometimes you do know it's God. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you know what kind of power is in your hand? Do you know what kind of power God has given you? He has given you the power of forgiveness. Do you know Jesus? They wanted to crucify him just because he said that those very words. Let your sins be forgiven. Only God has the power to forgive sins. Crucify him. You can't say that. You can. You can. You can. We all can. When we say we forgive others who have trespassed against us, God says, then I will forgive the trespasses you have done. Think about that. Think about all of the dynamics that has to happen. When we forgive others' trespasses, God will forgive our trespasses. And if you don't, what happens on the other end? On the other end, he says, I'm not forgiving yours. That's a very dangerous place. I would rather have the power than to live under that weight of bitterness. Because once it doesn't go in the power of God, it turns into bitterness. You read the Word of God, it will turn. Matthew 18, 18. Thomas Becket, he was a saint from way back. He says, the greatest sin is to do the right thing for the wrong reason. To do the right thing for the wrong reason. So we have to be real conscious with the motives. And that's what he's telling these Pharisees and Sadducees. He's saying, you are praying. You are giving alms. You are fasting. But you're doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. You're doing it to be a show. And he's saying, understand this. You're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. And it's nullifying everything that you're doing. You think God is pleased with you, and he's not. I have a problem with this. Myself. I want to be good at what I do. I wish I wanted to be good at what I do because I want to be a great communicator. You know? I listen to people who are great communicators, and I envy them. I say, man, I wish I could talk like that. I wish I had that kind of vocabulary. I wish I was as knowledgeable as that person. But why? Because I think they're cool. I want to be that cool. It goes to my own ego. It goes to who I think I want to be. And I wonder at times, does that nullify what the Father wants in me? I confess to you right now, just so that, why do I do that? Why do I confess these faults in me, my hidden secrets, the things that are in me? Why? Because I pray. I pray that through my humility, I might come out on the other side a better man. I might be somewhat acceptable unto the Lord, so that I may go into what? His servitude. To be what he needs into my next. To be what he wants me to be. Why? To the betterment of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want that. I want to seek first his kingdom. Well, what is his kingdom? His kingdom is those who are first shall be last, and those who are last shall be first. Right? Right. It's nothing of myself. It's of him. I have to know that. Those who will be exalted is those who come humbly before the throne. I have nothing to offer but me. My flesh stinks. This is all I got. In Matthew 18:18, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, what if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." We have to be able to understand that these promises are real and true and work the promises of God. We need to be able to say, "I must do the will of my Father." Find out the will of God for your life. Well, I don't know what it is. Pray. And the second thing you should do is pray. And the third thing you should do is pray. We should pray and find the will of your Father. And then you should pray into existence that thing that God wants to do in your life. I'm going to have a meeting this afternoon of someone that is remarkable to me. He is being discipled, and I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm going to find out today. I just know that God is speaking to him. And if he's being discipled just by himself, I'm going to stand in amazement. If he's that type of guy who Jesus saw the centurion, he says, I've never seen this kind of faith. And he's just remarkable. Then so be it. But if he's drinking from a well, I want to know that too. I'm just going to ask, "Where's this water you're drinking? I want to know. I want to know." We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to be able to know the will of God and to continue to pray. The invitation right now is this. To pray right now for our nation, for our president, for the things of God in your life. So, close your eyes. I want you to ask God this. God, what is your expectation of me? What do you want me to do? Number two, God, what expectation do you want of me internally, character-wise? Do you want me to be what kind of better person do I need to be? How do I need to change? Number three, pray for your city. Pray for your family. Pray for those that are around you and how you can be an influence to that family. Number four, pray for Crane. Number five, pray for our nation. Okay? Okay. So I'm going to be praying. I want you to be praying for those things that God has brought up into your heart. Okay? So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come right now to believe you. That Father, you said that we must pray. And I pray that the spirit of prayer fall on us. Let your anointing of prayer and our desire to meet with you and to commune with you be right here, right now. And let us not be satisfied, but let us have a hunger and our thirst to join you in prayer, in relationship. Father, teach us how to just commune with you. Teach us how to enter into the throne room of God. Teach us how to love you. Teach us how to totally engulf you. And teach us how to receive your arms around us. Let us not squirm out of your arms, but let us embrace you back. Father, I pray for each and every individual in here, God. Tell them. Tell them, God, how they can be more like you. Tell them how they can change their hearts to be an exact representation of you. Father, impress upon them how they can change in the secret places to be more like you. Show them, Father, that they are to be sowers of the seeds of God, not just in money, but in time and effort. And Father, that they are sowers of the seed of the Word of God. Show them where to plant those seeds, that they may grow to be huge oaks of righteousness. Father, I pray that you show them themselves so that they may be washed with the water of the Word. Because we are your bride. We are the ones that you're coming back for that should be spotless and stainless and white as snow. So show us how to become that. Father, show us in our family how we can give to our family like you gave to your family. Show us how the Christ in us can give as you gave. Let us be the Christ in our family. Father, I pray for our city here in Crane. Father, I believe we're under attack. I believe things are happening here that are not normal. And Father, I pray against the weapons of the enemy. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that the enemy be stopped in Jesus' name. And I pray right now that God, you would do a mighty work. I pray, Father, right now that you would stop the enemy. Father, you tell me right now that we are to stop the works of the enemy. That's part of our job, is to stop the works of the enemy. Father? So, Father, I'm taking a stand right here. I'm taking a stand in the gap against what Satan would do against my city, against my town, against my people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying right now as one who speaks the oracles of God to stop this. Stop the things that are coming against the people of Crane. And I say, let us be heaven on earth in Crane, God. Let God be on the throne in Crane, God, established, formed. Father, I pray right now that we work the Word of God as we see the Word of God being worked in our lives. Father, the anointing falls on you. And you dispense that anointing as you see fit. So, Father, do that. Dispense the anointing. Dispense it among the churches. Dispense it among the men of God. Dispense it among the people who you are seeing going and doing the work, Father. Dispense it. Dispense it. Dispense it. President, I pray for our nation. I pray, Father, for all the rioting that's going on. I pray against Antifa. I pray against Black Lives Mattering. I pray against the agenda that they have against our nation. I pray against those things, Father. And I pray, Father, that the hidden things that they have against our nation be exposed in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you bring forth the light, and that light be shown bright and clear. And that, Father, I pray against this virus that has claimed so many lives, and against the people that are restricting the medical practices that would help these people. And I pray, Father, that you would loose in heaven the healing touch of God and the healing secrets that you have put in these godly men to be able to go out and heal people. And Father, it's just ludicrous to me that these people would stop anything that would help people. Why they do it is because, well, I think because of greed. But Lord, for whatever reason it is, I pray, Father, right now that you would thwart their agenda. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you win and not them. I pray you win and not them. I pray, Father, your voice be heard above theirs. So, God, speak. Speak. Speak through your people. And show yourself mighty. Show yourself as that voice that speaks out of the wilderness and speaks and shows who you say you are with mercy and compassion and love for these people that need compassion. Thank you for showing us that we need to pray for those people that are online. We have people that we don't even know of. Father, we're going to pray for whoever you tell us to pray for.
God, remove the liars, but bring those men who speak truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good week.